whole lives to you. We just ask that you would open our ears to hear what you're saying today, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We know you're already here. You're already inside us. You're already among us. But we want to be sensitive to you today. We ask that you would astound us, move our hearts to trust you more. All praise and honor and glory to you, Jesus. All right, well, good morning to you who are here in person. Good morning to those of you online, and hello to those tuning in later on. So it's really good to see your beautiful faces. What an honor and a joy to worship together. You know, as we were praying together before the service, it's just like how we just need one another, because I know I leak, we leak through the week. We can get discouraged, we can get weary, but when we come together, the Lord brings joy just through being together, and it's amazing, and just so glad to be with you all. So, as you know, we're continuing our slow journey through Hebrews 11, and so today our key verse is in Hebrews 11, verse 21. I got assigned one verse. I love this series. We get like one verse or one person or something. So I'm reading from the NLT. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. So we all know Jacob was one of the big three patriarchs. He was the younger of Isaac's two sons and a grandson of Abraham. So we're told that the name Jacob sounds like the Hebrew word for heel. And we have to wonder whether it was before he was named that Jacob's name also sounded like the Hebrew word meaning deceiver, or if that Hebrew word acquired its meaning because of what Jacob did early in his life. So we're going to read, we've gone to our key verse in Hebrews, but we're going to spend most of our time today in Genesis. So if you would flip back to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis 25, starting in verse 19. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah. Skipping down a little bit. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. Skipping down a little further, and when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. So we're not told how old Rebekah was when she became a mother. We do know that Isaac was 40 when he and Rebekah got married, and then he was 60 years old when he became a dad. So they'd been married for 20 years before the kids came along. And that's a really long time in any culture. More than likely, both parents had been asked countless times, "So, when are you guys going to have kids?" They probably dreamed for many years of what kind of relationship they'd like to have with their kids, what they'd enjoy doing together. Then, after much pleading in prayer, the Lord answered their prayers and blessed them with two very healthy children. So I looked it up. You know how geeky I am. Did you know that twins today, even with all our modern nutrition, vitamins, and medical advances, weigh on average 5.5 pounds each, which is 1.5 pounds less than the average single baby. It might be because more than half of twin babies are born before they are full term. on average, 4 weeks earlier than single babies. Now, our third son, Michael, was born 7 weeks early, and his birth weight was less than half that of his brother's. It took him several years to catch up developmentally, but you wouldn't know it now. Now, we don't see any evidence of underdevelopment with Jacob and Esau. Esau had none of that soft, downy hair that we often associate with newborns. He was so hairy that the Genesis writer likens his appearance to a fur coat. And Jacob was incredibly strong. As he was being born, strong enough to be hanging on his brother's heel. So the family of two doubled in one day. So now we have two parents, two kids. Let's continue the story, Genesis 25, starting in verse 27. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So, according to the Journal of Family Psychology, 74% of moms and 70% of dads report preferential treatment toward one child. That's a lot. We're not surprised to read in this biblical account that Isaac and Rebekah each preferred to spend time with one of their children over the other. The Bible is so trustworthy and relatable for many reasons, one of which is because it makes no effort to tidy up messy stories like this. One commentary says that the father was peculiarly attached to the one and the mother to the other. So Moses, who wrote this account in the book of Genesis about 450 years later, tells us that mom Rebekah preferred her shepherd son over her hunter son. Now, modern psychology has a lot to say about this kind of thing. We have all experienced or observed the disastrous fallout from favoritism in families, churches, workplaces, government, pretty much anywhere that people gather. After realizing that God had given the good news and the Holy Spirit to all people, the Apostle Peter confidently states in Acts 10:34, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism." Because God in Christ has broken down all barriers that separate us from Him and from one another, He also invites us to avoid showing favoritism to anyone on account of rank, family, wealth, or partiality arising from any cause. So even if we didn't know the end of Jacob's story yet, we know that the parents' favoritism, which is another way of saying that they each lacked love for the child they didn't favor, isn't going to bear good fruit in the long run. So the story continues back to Genesis 25. Now we're in verse 29. One day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." Skipping down a little bit. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights as the firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First you must swear that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. So we're going to skip over two chapters to Genesis 27, and we're going to read the continuation of the story, starting in verse 1, Genesis 27. One day, when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, "My son?" "Yes, father," Esau replied. I am an old man now, Isaac said, and I don't know when I may die. Skipping down a little ways, prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die. But Rebekah overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. Listen to the prepositions, his son. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks and bring me two fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies. So now we have a deceptive plan hatched by Rebekah and carried out by Jacob, who, sadly, learns to play pretend to get what he wants. The story goes on in Genesis 27. Now we're in verse 35. Isaac said to Esau, your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing. Esau exclaimed, no wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. So we find out that Jacob started out life, early in life, stealing someone else's blessing, his brother Esau's blessing, not once, but twice, and in the most significant ways possible. Why? Maybe he thought there wasn't enough to go around. Maybe he thought someone else got a better deal than he did. Maybe he was afraid of missing out. Maybe he was unduly influenced by bad advice. Maybe he learned some pretty bad vices at home. Maybe he was just plain selfish. Maybe he lacked faith in God. Maybe he didn't believe that God would take care of him. Maybe he thought that playing pretend was preferable to working hard and persevering. So when we think about our verse in Hebrews, our key verse today, does Jacob at this point in our story sound like the kind of person who goes around blessing other people? He is known in Genesis 25 and 27 as one who steals blessings. Worse, he stole from his closest family. He caused pain. He caused division. He caused heartbreak. And yet, in Hebrews 11:21, it says, it was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. So we have to wonder, how did the Jacob who stole blessings become the Jacob who gave blessings? We don't know how old Jacob and Esau were when Jacob stole Esau's birthright and blessing, but we do know that Jacob died at the age of 147. So you know I had to calculate this out. So we're looking at a period of about 100 years for Jacob, the stealer of blessings, to become Jacob, the giver of blessings. Have you ever tried to overcome a bad habit in your life and beaten yourself up about it because it took longer and it was harder than you thought? He had 100 years. Just thought about that. I was like, wow. So we're talking here about some pretty major character flaws. Deception, manipulation, lying, stealing, deeply ingrained, encouraged by a parent, woven into the very fabric of Jacob's character. So we've seen what he was like as a young man. So now let's fast forward to when he's old and dying. He's had a very long time to think about his choices. He's reaped consequences. He's been humbled by life. He's learned some things the hard way. But this is the most important part. He's encountered God. He's changed from living for himself and dedicated his entire life to God, making a promise to give God his full devotion and the first and best part of his possessions. Now, we know this change in his life wasn't perfect. He made more mistakes. He stumbled sometimes. But the very direction of his life was changed from focusing on self to focusing on God. And interestingly, God promised to bless him before he turned his life around. So this was so interesting to me because I've been reading these stories my whole life. I've seen the paintings, I've seen the movies, and I had totally the wrong idea in my head of how old he was when this stuff happened. So just go with me. At age 77 and still single, he was actually running away from God and sound asleep. He was running away from his family after deceiving Esau. That's when his mother was like, go, 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 go. He was 77 and he was sound asleep the first time that scripture records God speaking to him. God promised Jacob in Genesis 28, you can go to that later, some pretty huge and awesome blessings. He promised him descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth, all families of the earth being blessed through him and his descendants, the presence of God wherever he went, God's protection wherever he went. So, at 77, Jacob arrives in a new country, moved in with some relatives, and started a new life. At age 84, Jacob got busy having kids, and he fathered 12 children over the next 7 years, and later had a 13th child. And you know, I've always thought Jacob was a lot younger when the next part of our story happened. But at the ripe old age of 97, Jacob moved his family to a different country, and our story continues. So turn with me to Genesis 32. This is like the key part of what we're looking at today. Genesis 32, starting in verse 24. Jacob was all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." So you would think that the best time to wrestle is when you're young and strong and energetic. But God waited until Jacob was nearly 100 years old to engage in an all-night wrestling match, ensuring that no one could ever guess the outcome. God had already promised to bless Jacob beyond his wildest dreams. But now, God gave Jacob a new name. Names in Hebrew signify the very nature and identity of an individual. God not only renamed Jacob, but transformed him inside and out. Because, as the text says, Jacob had fought with both God and people and had overcome, won, prevailed, persevered. Did you know there's a summary of Jacob's story in the book of Hosea, one of the minor prophets? So in Hosea 12, 3 to 6, it tells us, even in the womb, Jacob struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face, and God spoke to him, "The Lord God of heaven's armies, the Lord is his name. So now, come back to your God. Act with love and justice, and always depend on him." Jacob's story encourages you and me to persevere when we are tempted to give up, to come back to God, to act with love and justice, and always depend on him. So in this long night of struggle, God transformed Jacob from one who played pretend and stole blessings to one who could persevere and be a channel for God's blessings. He even gave him a hip injury so he wouldn't forget. Jacob was no longer the crafty schemer plotting for his own advantage. So in encountering God, Jacob was now humbly able to entrust his very life and all that he had into God's hands. He could now bless others generously and authentically. And you can read those later in Genesis 47 to 49. He blessed Pharaoh, he blessed Joseph's sons, and he blessed all of his children and their tribes with an appropriate message. Our Hebrews verse tells us that he blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship. Jacob no longer played pretend or stole others' blessings. He persevered in trusting God and became a channel through which God's blessings could flow to others. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So why don't we see this all the time in ourselves and in every other person on the planet? God's desire is to always bless us, to give us good gifts, to work within us, to do that which is good, holy, and beautiful, and to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. In the mystery of the kingdom of God, we humans are mysteriously, like I said, it's a mystery, we are the vessels that God, through which God chooses to accomplish his purposes on the earth. So in spite of all our frailties, imperfections, weaknesses, and limitations, God wants to work through us. And he invites each one of us to engage in his purposes, hand in hand. We don't have to play pretend. We don't have to make things happen. We can persevere like Jacob in trusting God in every aspect of our lives, and become channels through which God's blessings can flow to others. So I just want to leave space here as we wrap this up. You know, maybe we're going to encounter God when we're asleep in a dream like Jacob, and maybe we're going to encounter him here today. We don't know. We don't know what he wants to do, but I was so thankful that JR had us pause in silence during our communion meditation. I think we all need more silence in our lives, more stillness. So let's just wait on the Lord. And if the Lord gives you something to share with others, go ahead and call that out. But pray with me. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who transforms us. Thank you that you are the giver of blessings. We want to like Jacob, we want to be transformed. We don't want to play pretend. We want to persevere. So we invite you and welcome you to speak today as we wait on you. So Lord, as we gather the gifts that you've spoken through these faithful voices, we ask, Lord, that you would give us hearts to persevere, to remember that you are kind, that your voice is the voice of kindness, that you're inviting us to speak with kindness, that you do bring order out of chaos, and you just ask that we surrender to you. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender our thoughts about others to you. Help us to see people with your eyes, to know that there's nothing that's too hard for you. No one is a lost cause. You've created each one in your beautiful image, and you're always doing something good, holy, and beautiful in each person, whether we perceive it or not. So as we go out from here, we just want you to pour us out as salt and light to whomever you bring to us or whoever you send us to. Thank you that you have encouraged us today, that we've had encounters with you. We've tasted and seen that you are good. So Lord, as we go from here, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.